Over the weekend, the political talk shows were dominated by the nomination of John Roberts to fill a Supreme Court vacancy. So far, no overwhelming opposition has emerged. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams is here to analyze where this nomination stands nearly a week after President Bush's announcement. Morning, Juan.
Good morning, Steve.
So, to the extent that there is criticism of John Roberts, what is the primary line of criticism?
Well, Steve, the first issue is privacy rights, which is a euphemism for a range of questions about abortion. Specifically, the concern being voiced by Senate Democrats has to do with late-term abortion and parental notification. It's a matter of where Judge Roberts stands on limiting abortion rights more so than outlawing abortion altogether. But you should know that an AP poll said last week that half of Americans, including a clear majority of women, want to know where Roberts stands on abortion. The second avenue that critics are pursuing is the question of whether or not he agrees with the idea of settled law, a willingness to let the Supreme Court's prior ruling stand. Democrats want to be assured that Judge Roberts is not of a mind to begin overturning precedents, in particular, a woman's right to have an abortion. And third, critics are looking at how he views the Interstate Commerce Clause, which allows the federal government to enforce laws on issues ranging from civil rights to the environment. On another front, critics are also seeking access to documents that Roberts wrote when he served as a government lawyer.
Now, what is exactly in those documents?
Well, actually, he has a very short paper trail. This is not someone who's written a lot of controversial opinions in his 2 years on the D.C. Court of Appeals, and he certainly hasn't authored any eye-catching law review articles. But the documents we're talking about were put in place when he worked in the White House counsel's office under President Reagan and later when he served as Deputy Solicitor General in the first Bush administration. While in the Solicitor General's office, he argued a case that said that federally funded clinics for women should be banned from even discussing abortion. It was in that case that he signed a brief that said Roe v. Wade should be overturned. Critics want to see documents involved in that case, for example, Steve. Yesterday, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said he hoped to reach an accommodation with the Senate that will allow them to get the information they need from memos and other documents Roberts may have authored without giving them all of the documents. But Senator Fred Thompson, the former Tennessee senator who's in charge of introducing Roberts around, said that the White House does not intend to release any of Roberts' memos. Thompson said the material should be considered private under attorney-client privilege. But Senator Pat Leahy, the senior Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, said there's no lawyer-client privilege for people working at Justice Department. He called it a total red herring argument and said those lawyers are working for the government and as such working for the American people.
Now, as Democrats tried to investigate Roberts' record, what has been the response from Republicans and from conservatives?
You know, conservatives, Steve, have strongly welcomed Roberts, especially the pro-life groups. Often cited is the fact that he worked for conservatives his entire career, including clerking for Justice Rehnquist, working in the Reagan White House, helping lawyers during the 2000 Florida recount that got the second President Bush elected, and even his regular church attendance at a Catholic church just outside Washington, the Church of the Little Flower. And one other factor is his wife, who's a member of a pro-life group called Feminists for Life.
Which is the kind of thing that can make one group very happy, another group very unhappy. Is her membership in this group going to be significant?
Well, apparently not. It's much discussed, but even Senator Kennedy has said that Roberts' wife is not the one up for confirmation. Nonetheless, she's an intriguing part of the story. They married late in their 40s. Adopted two kids, and, you know, like her husband, she's a devout Catholic.
We're talking to NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams, and we want to mention that you can read our political editor Ken Rudin's analysis of Roberts' track record to the extent that it's known, and also his prospects at NPR.org. Juan, before you go, I want to ask about one other thing. Of course, there's been a lot of news about this investigation of the leak of a CIA agent's name, and people in the White House have been identified. Where does that investigation stand now?
Steve, over the weekend, Attorney General Gonzalez, who was White House counsel when this investigation began, said that when he was first informed about the probe by the Justice Department, he waited overnight before instructing the White House staff not to destroy documents related to the probe. He did, however, tell one person immediately, White House Chief of Staff Andy Card. Yesterday, Senator Joe Biden said he questioned Gonzalez's judgment in making that move and was concerned that the Chief of Staff might have spoken to Karl Rove, the White House official whose name has been at the center of this probe. White House officials, the Ferris, could have used that 12-hour delay in notification to destroy some relevant documents.
Was anything destroyed, as far as we know?
As far as we know, nothing was destroyed, but of course, it's hard to know if it was destroyed.
The evidence wouldn't be there. Juan, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Steve.
That's NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams.